Episode 6, right? Is where we started?
7 and 8.
6 and 7? What did you watch?
7 and 8.
Was it 7 and 8? It was the episode where they did the time loop, and then the episode okay.
We watched the right ones. I just actually put the episode titles and everything.
I gotcha. I did not do that.
Well,
so,
and I feel like that the first two episodes were really just one.
Right. But okay, sure. No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
You know, on paper, it was episode one and two, and then the third one was the discovery.
Oh, and just in case nobody realized, I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And nobody asked for this.
So what we're doing this week is trying to catch up with Star Trek Discovery.
Played some catch up.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
We're able to watch the two episodes back to back.
Don't worry. Even though we caught up, you guys didn't. You're still weeks behind from where the present day is occurring.
Because if you haven't heard it.
Because we suck at airing these things.
Oh, yeah. No, this is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is. We're catching up.
Yeah.
We're doing what we can.
We're
folks.
Doing this
Stay
as if
with us.
We have an active audience who's watching the show along with us.
This is free.
Nobody knows we exist.
I don't know if you guys realize this, but our production value is extraordinary for just coming at you free.
Yes.
So soak it up. Enjoy it, even though our time frame is completely off and all this happened weeks ago.
Yes.
To you, it's brand new.
Hopefully, all of you have seen Star Trek Discovery at this point.
Yeah. If you haven't caught up, then I don't know why you're listening.
Spoilers have been assumed since episode one because we break down each episode.
If you're not following any of this, tune back in when we do RoboCop because...
That's going to be our first of our four into the movies.
First of our movie series.
Really not looking forward to
Brandon
the new RoboCop
because I
heard
I'm
it's real bad.
This.
I've heard it's so bad. And not even so bad it's good bad, just bad.
I'm just using it as an excuse to watch the old RoboCop again.
I mean... How can you not?
But the new one, I haven't heard anything about it. I hope it's good. I mean, from your face,
I shouldn't
I take
say much.
It,
I don't want to color your judgment about it. But
yeah, also you shouldn't be using the term colored. Anyway, you want to get into it? If you're done being a racist, anyway.
All right.
So Star Trek Discovery episode, you say it's 7.
Episode
I say it's 6. We have a disagreement there
it is
already. So
seven,
debate.
Used Wikipedia and everything.
Okay, well then I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah, you are. So, episode 7, magic to make the sanest man go mad.
So, this is the time loop episode.
This is the time loop episode.
And I gotta tell you, as a time loop episode, I really enjoyed it.
I fucking loved it.
I thought they had a really good outlook on the whole time loop idea.
They played that trope really, really,
yeah,
really
exactly.
well.
It's a classic.
It is a classic, especially a classic Trek loop.
Yeah, absolutely. Trope is the perfect word for it. It's just rehashed and reused.
Oh, yeah.
It's really what this podcast is all about, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen,
reboots, rehashes, redos, reuse, reduce, recycling.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, I thought they did a solid job with it overall. I mean, it was
Mudd
like,
was so good. In
oh,
this
he
one.
Was a real good
Mudd was
version
Mudd.
Of
he
Mudd.
He was so good. Hey, why do I keep on calling Dwight? Rainn Wilson. Rainn Wilson is a really good Harry Mudd.
Well, they the writers did just a solid job.
Oh
of
my God.
Keeping it like a little bit tongue in cheek, but not so much that you were like, okay, all right, enough, guys. I like the fact that we didn't follow the main person who was experiencing the time loop.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was the engineer, obviously, right? I mean, but like we followed the episode from pretty much the
perspective
of Michael.
Michael's perspective,
who,
for
by
sure.
the way, I keep wanting to call her Bo because Bo Burnham.
understandable.
Yeah, so.
Somebody called him Michael Bolton the other day I was talking about.
Yeah.
I was like, Michael, it's Burnham.
But I thought it was really interesting the way they did that and the way like that character wasn't clearly the one experiencing the time. Because every time loop episode you experience, you tend to experience it from the perspective of the person who realizes it's a time loop.
Yep.
And in this one, they were like, no, I've seen this a bunch of times. Hi, I'm here to help.
It was good.
It was really well done. I like the different perspective on that.
I was like too wrapped up into finish like.
But I'll tell you what. First thing I noticed.
What?
Branding.
Again, on her pillow.
On the pillow,
of course.
Not only does it not just a Starfleet brand,
it says
Discovery. So they're like, don't take it off the ship because we'll know. Like,
we will charge your account.
Exactly. You're gonna get charged for this shit.
Let's see. So started. Pretty quick. I forget how it exactly started, but it started with, I think this was the first personal log of Michael, where they
was it.
Yeah,
I mean,
Officer's log.
First thing I wrote down was the Starfleet logo, of course, obviously.
Can't seem to stop fixating on.
Didn't it start in the party?
Well, yes, but she started talking about getting out of her comfort zone and things like that.
Right.
And then
I'm going to a Starfleet
pan right into the party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was like, what kind of party are they having on a Starfleet ship?
It looked pretty fun.
It looked like a great time.
I was like, they never cut loose like this in 10-4.
It was
ever
a little
before.
Uncomfortable, to be honest with you. It was just like fucking black lights and like plastic lays. They were just like, guys.
Yeah.
Is everyone in ecstasy in here?
It's Star Trek parties for the newer generation, dude.
Computer, I'll take 10 tabs of ecstasy. And then the computer's like, ecstasy, a great supplement for freeing your mind from your body.
Gotta have all that lippiness.
Because the computer's gotta market you, whatever it is you're eating. Yeah.
No thanks, computer.
I thought the party was a tad aggressive.
Oh, I thought, but for what it did in the plot, I think it worked out just fine.
Sure, okay.
I think it worked out just, but you're talking aesthetically?
Aesthetically, yeah. It was very much, like, in your face.
Well, if this is leading into like the swinging 60s Star Trek with the short skirts and everything, I mean,
I guess it is. It would
be
appropriate
in
that case.
Kind of dovetail into that.
It was a little bit too ravey for me.
Yeah, that was what they were going for.
Yeah, exactly.
These are writers who like are like, what are kids? How do kids party these days?
Right, they're 22. I get it.
No, they're not. Like the writers are not, and they clearly went, what are parties these days look like? Oh, okay, I'd ask my nephew. This
black lights and lays.
Like. Yeah, basically strobes and da 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 da.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was just, too loud where you can't talk.
It was a little bit too
kitschy for you.
Yeah, it didn't Star Trek me into it. There were parts Star Trek me right in.
Yeah,
and that was just not one of them.
It was a departure. You don't see the crew cutting loose like that.
Well, also like you got the feeling that like even on in like 10 forward or wherever they would have you know a party that was like they were still in the military here, guys.
That is true. No, I'm with you. Like in Next Gen, it was more of like an official, like
We got together for a wedding, or like this random part, or like Data was having a concert.
Basically, they were like, "No shots." Totally.
I was like, "Whoa, what?
Everybody's getting laid." Like,
right?
I don't.
Right. Yeah, wasn't the engineer, the bridge chick with the funny face, the half robot face? She was getting banged in the corner.
I mean, it's on all access. They're allowed to say fuck.
They're allowed to do a lot more than that, apparently.
Right.
And that chick was getting done. there was just a lot in that scene that I was like, whoa,
yeah,
well,
it was,
are we still in Starfleet?
Yeah.
What's happening right now? But you know what?
We explore hard, we party hard.
Right, yeah, exactly. Lorca's ship, Lorca's rules.
Whoa.
he fucking
oh man,
just really really fucking Kevin Spacey right in there.
I did it.
We're gonna come back. We're gonna come back to that. I'm gonna ask Brandon at the end of the episode for all the updates.
Well, it's not been
stay tuned. You just ruined it. Now no one's gonna stay until the end of the episode.
Oh,
what the fuck is wrong with you?
I need to think of another cliffhanger.
Fuck that, guys. You might as well tune out now. Kevin Spacey hasn't done dick in the past week. But
yeah, as he well shouldn't.
He should be
finding the nearest rock to go hide under.
So
it was really good to see her try to get in the party at the beginning, especially, and like I saw her smile at one point. I was like, all right, Mike is smiling now.
Yeah, it was a little humanizing. I liked the Tilly part too.
This was a lot of intercrew like development, which we haven't seen between the characters as much, and we're finally getting to start to see them mesh together. Finally,
yeah, and I really like the fact that Tilly was there having a good time.
Oh yeah,
kind of just nerding out.
Yeah,
and that. But like, let me ask you a question: what happened to is it Ash or Nash?
Ash Tyler?
Is Ash Tyler? Okay, yes. Clearly you've Googled this.
Yeah,
because
I first didn't trust him.
What happened to him?
What?
Because he used to be like a fairly stoic, albeit cool military type gentleman, and in this episode he went from that to being just like, I'm the Fonz, bro. Like everything he said was cool. Every move he made was like, oh my god, this guy's so fucking cool.
I buy it.
Like he was just so smooth throughout the whole episode. He's like, oh, we're time looping, all right, fill me in while we dance. Like it's some James Bond shit where he's like, look into my eyes. Like he's like, make out with me. Someone's coming down the hallway.
Basically,
like,
yeah, everything he said was perfect.
Like,
he never had an
awkward
moment.
The coolest character in this episode or any episode of Star Trek ever. I'd go to say, he got some serious lessons in fucking nailing the jukebox.
Oh yeah,
this guy cooled up like crazy.
He
rolled in and he was like, "Hey, how we doing? Hey, Burnham, you want to dance? I was going to ask you to dance. You want to dance?" He's like, "Whoa, everything." I think, what did I write down? I think I had some notes on his coolness. He immediately jumps up and makes a speech first thing.
Yes.
He's like, "Hold on. I know everyone's having a good time.
But let's not forget. Let's not forget
the troops." including wheelchair guy. Right?
Nod to the wheelchair guy.
Thanks for giving up your legs, wheelchair guy.
Hey, that's a good leading officer.
No, it totally is. He's just the most popular guy in the room, smooth as fuck, stands up during the middle of a party.
Remember,
say a speech about veterans. Like, he was like, whoa. And then
he's the new cool guy. He's the new popular guy.
He's the new cool guy. Yeah. That literally, I wrote, Ash is different. He was a soldier, now he's cool.
But he was both, man. When it comes down to business, he gets down to business.
He was a little too cool for me. Like, where he was like, I feel like you felt like he was suspicious before.
Yeah.
Like, he was overly, like, helpful.
Yeah.
I felt like he was overly cool. He was like, what are you trying to hide,
Nobody's
buddy?
Fucking that cool.
No one's
Nobody's
that cool.
Nobody's that smooth.
Yeah. And he just grabbed right onto the time loop thing every time. You have to convince that guy every time that you're in a time loop.
I like the
secret. But apparently the last nine times he was just in it.
Yes. Well, I mean, they only had that short amount of time before, but died anyway.
I did have some minor criticisms of the time loop. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But overall, I like the way they handled it, like I said.
Yeah. I said, good to see Michael smile, and good to see that she actually
having a good time at the party.
Coming to terms with, like, human emotions, like love, and she has a crush, and you know what I mean? And next one, I said, finally some crew fraternization. Good to see. Like, more than fraternizing, but yeah.
Oh yeah, you're getting a lot of that.
Oh, it was finally on display in this episode more than it has been. I think we're finally building a cohesive crew now.
Characters interacting casually at first, obviously.
Yes.
So the collision in the hallway. I really enjoyed that scene.
That was the first thing I noticed. Yeah. Too. On the second loop, I was like, they didn't.
Oh yeah, well, it didn't happen on the second loop. But even on the first loop, I enjoyed it. Like the engineer. First of all, engineer, one of my favorite characters.
The best character. One of my favorite characters. Yeah. Absolutely.
I like how he said my partner. He wasn't like the medical officer or whatever. They're just like totally like, me and my partner.
It's him and Hugh. Yeah.
Yep. Which again, he was the whole part where he was like, I can't tell him because of what it could do to his career
that
and
was
shit.
Beautiful.
Like, that's, I didn't even think about that. And that's, yeah. They played that well. But I love his new attitude of just being like, I'm the man. What's up, guys?
Well, no,
so happy to see you guys.
Well, it's because he's basically like tripping. But, he's tripping.
Yeah, obviously. Towards the end of this, he gets
layers
weird.
Of the universe every time they have to make a jump.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's the guy who sees the time difference, the time loop.
Which was awesome. What a way to, like...
It was really well done because of, like I said, the fact that he's not the main character. You're not following him.
No,
but it's as if...
Like, on the old, on Next Generation, it would have followed Stan.
It would have followed, like, Troy or Riker. Whoever
there
was
that
experiencing
one. There was that
time
one time
loop.
It was following the people who were outside the time loop.
Exactly.
Whatever. Yeah.
But it gives you an idea of what it would be like if someone came up to you and was like guys,
you need to listen to me and you need to dress every word I say because time is critical.
Right.
And they had to work on that through.
Like, I've experienced this 28 times.
I know.
Like, you guys haven't because you've just seen. Michael Burnham in the last couple, but I've been living this shit. So I thought they did a really good job with that.
It was like a well written. Just the first time they've done that time loop trope really, really well.
Well, I like the fact that we're revisiting old Star Trek tropes and just redoing them as like, hey, the classic time loop episode. Like, we've seen this at least two or three times.
Yep.
Here's
a
new
take
on
it. And it was really fresh.
Exactly. Certainly. Yeah. I thought they did a really good job of that whole experience was excellent. I really enjoyed this episode.
No, this
out
was...
of all the episodes,
yes.
This is probably my favorite so far.
This was peaking for me.
I had like one problem with it, which I'll go into later on with you, but
yeah.
Overall,
I mean, nothing's perfect. We can nitpick to death. Anyway.
Well, I mean, so it's fucking the original series is perfect. So shut your fucking mouth.
It's not.
Don't. How dare you? Have you seen William Shatner?
Have you seen Spock's brain?
A Greek god. I've seen Spock's brain. It's excellent. It's excellent brain.
Masterpiece.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fantastic episode. Powers a whole.
But well,
city
every
made
Star
something. I don't
every
know.
Every Star Trek starts off a little rocky.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If this is, like, I'm starting to see it but gel, here's the thing. I hope.
Arguably, I mean, this is Star Trek of the modern day. You don't really have a chance to start out rocky.
No, and that's why they're...
If you start out rocky, you're done. Yeah. I don't care if you're Star Trek or not.
And that's why it's good to see that I feel like they're finally there, and it's only episode 7, you know? I feel like we've met all the creme members.
You said next episode was the... well, not next episode, but the episode...
The upcoming one is episode... We saw 7, and we saw 8.
So we're getting ready for the finale.
9 is going to be the fall finale, which is, I guess, a half season.
So we're doing a 2 half season.
I think so. I'm not sure, because this was only the 9 episodes, which is not a full...
I hate that they're not clear on that. I also hate that everything is like 9 or 10 episodes now, and they're done. It feels like such bullshit.
Uh-huh.
They're just like, oh, yeah, no, we did like 9, so we're out.
HBO was the first to start it. Years ago with like Deadwood and stuff, yeah.
So where were we? We had the collision in the hallway.
Yes.
I like the cybernetic augment on the engineer. I wish they described it a little bit better.
Yeah,
like how we did that.
Like
what that's all about.
And like that they're still cool with eugenics, even though they're not cool with eugenics.
I kind of liked how they were just like, oh yeah,
it's me, and he pulls up his arm and he's got that thing.
This is what we do now.
We
cybernetically enhance people when necessary.
Yeah,
it's just a thing. I was like, I thought that was pretty neat.
And now he's the center of the spore drive now.
Yeah, which, again, seems tactically silly.
He's going to be taxing, and he's having problems, but...
Oh, yeah, obviously. It's an issue from the get-go. You knew it was going to happen.
I hope he doesn't die.
Yeah.
I think he's great.
So, I mean, after that, what do we have? The,
I noticed Lorca was in his captain's chair.
In the captain's chair.
First time that I noticed, at least.
I really enjoyed the action on the way to the bridge. Like, they're talking in the turbo lift and shit.
Also get a sense of, like, the layout of the ship.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, I feel like I could navigate my way through that ship because of the way they film.
Well,
and
until the fucking disc starts spinning, yeah.
Then it's anybody's game.
Like, oh, everyone up against the wall. Bye.
But, like, it's very clear when
the floor drops out.
Like, the deck entrance and you make a left. And I don't know. I feel like it's a very well-defined space.
You feel like you're working there at this point?
Yeah, I could. Yeah, exactly.
Show your way to the cafeteria. Hey, new guy. Oh, don't worry. I've seen the show.
Yeah, exactly. But, finally saw him in the captain's chair.
Right.
Which I was like, okay, cool. And then...
Who were they fighting in that first one? What was... Oh, that...
The space whale.
Space whale.
Yeah.
Space whale. They were like, oh, a space whale.
Yeah.
And I was like, that seems just innocent enough to be awful.
Was it then Gondorian or something like that?
Gamorrean or some nonsense. Yeah. Which Christine brought up a good point. I keep saying her name. She's my girlfriend.
Most people figure that out.
I thought she deserved an intro. We watched the episodes together. Get over it. Ladies, sorry. I mean, you're welcome to keep mailing in your panties, but I'm taken. Sorry.
For the record, I'm still on the market.
Brandon is on the market. Yeah. So, guys, stop mailing them your boxers, and ladies, get those panties in.
Yes, please. I'm up to here with boxers.
they're just fucking filling up the whole apartment.
You're supposed to use Grindr, right? Is that how you find girls?
Yeah. Grindr. It's for subs and fucking chicks. That's what I hear. What was I going to say?
So the action or something? Or what? No, walking into the...
Oh, well, this animal, like, what was the logic they had behind, like, why it was, like, not eating or something? They're like, often they'll ignore their instincts and do whatever.
I was typing a note and they...
Silly.
Then the whole, like, oh, we have to either avoid
they're
it
like,
or
it's sick. It could be ignoring its nature. And I was like,
yeah.
What? Why would it do that?
I guess
that?
We do that with
That's
whales.
Not suspicious?
We do that with whales. Like, if there's, like, a pot of whales that are, like, trapped.
I guess
and
so.
We try to get them back
and
out.
Then they were like, let's beam it onto the cargo deck. And I was like, wait a minute. And Christine even goes, yeah, they took it from, like, the vacuum of space into, like, an oxygen-rich environment.
Like,
is it going to survive? Is that cool? And I was like, good point.
Yeah, like, it could just, like... explode.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the pressure has crushed it to
it's
death.
Unreal.
We're not very good at this.
No.
Not at all.
No.
But then, of course, Mud obviously steps out of it.
Bust out of it.
Yeah.
A ridiculous but hilarious outfit at first with the helmet. It was pretty good. And I knew it was him as soon as he came out because I'm like, oh, he's the only other established, like,
I wasn't sure what direction they were going with at that point, actually.
You
called it?
Well, I had spoiled this. I had spoiled the fact that it was a time loop episode for myself. So, on one of my news things, it was like, Star Trek does the time loop thing right. I was like, okay. So, but I didn't know it was Mud. But I knew once he started, there was a point where I was basically like, "As oh, he's going to take off his mask. It's going to be Mud. It's going to be Mud."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I mean, I'd seen previews with Mud in it, but I didn't know it was going to be this episode.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised for it to be Mud.
Fenton Mud.
Hardcore Fenton Mud. Yeah. It was, again, very muddy. What's his face?
So good. He's Dwight got it.
Does a great Rain job Wilson, as yeah. Mud. Yeah, whatever. Dwight.
I know you don't care.
Excellent Mud. He really plays with the mannerisms, just the attitude very well. The jewelry is well done. He's got like a ton of rings on. They really they do a good job of making him.
And the theatrical good Mud like character. When he was warping or transporting people in and out.
Yeah, like the flourish.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, very theatrical. Yeah,
yeah, it was really good.
I thought they did a really good job.
Yeah, this one had me sucked in completely.
Yeah, no, this is again, like I said, favorite episode so far. Mm-hmm. So he walks out of space whale. Obviously. Kills a bunch of people.
Oh yeah,
which was my one kind of problem with the episode was that he just kept murdering people in cold blood.
Yeah,
which I was just like, ooh, that's Mud is like he's yeah. a conniver and he's a schemer, but like he's never been just like a I murdered four people. How you doing?
Oh, he did leave him in a prison cell.
Yeah, no, that was brutal.
He's pretty mad.
That was brutal. He kills Lorca apparently like you know however what did many say,
53 times or something.
Yeah. Which I was,
that
was like.
I liked that montage. That was sick, but I liked that montage.
Yeah, I was just kind of. It was sick, first of all.
That was cool.
But I was just like, whoa, like, that's the least muddy thing about him is the fact that he just wantonly murders people. But, it makes
Trek.
It more serious. Fenton Mud.
New Trek is people are going to die.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things I had taken note of. This show, much higher stakes.
Yeah. Like, much higher body count already.
It feels really dramatic.
Yeah,
like,
well,
the old Star Trek, even, you know, TOS, TNG, even DS9.
It was still a comfortable, safe ish. You knew most everybody was going to make it.
Exactly. Like, you were pretty. You
like, if somebody wasn't
going to
make it,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you tune in every week to see the latest adventure.
Yeah.
You weren't like, oh, shit.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I thought, later on, when Tyler died, I was like, oh, no, if they don't... Said he's gone.
Oh,
like,
I figured they would just re-time
I figured they
it.
Would, but like, oh, that wow, that would
in
be pretty bold.
In a time loop episode, I tend to be like, all right, they'll probably come back.
Everything will get reset, of course.
Which, again, the end was a little like, what?
The end was a little original series is what that was.
Well, kind of.
No, it was.
But it was a little like, whoa, dude, you guys just, like Mud, really? You put this whole plan in the works, and then you just got rid of your time crystal?
Seems well, silly. I think she said it had a half-life or whatever.
Right, but he could keep reliving it forever until he went past a certain point of time is what it seemed like.
He's able to, it's basically like he has a certain amount of time to use it, or it goes away, or he can go back.
Exactly.
And it'll keep going, but if it passes that one moment, it just...
I just felt like he took that win a little too easy.
Oh, well, yeah.
He was like, oh, and we're done. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Buy time crystal. This is the one you wanted to take for win. It seems like
also probably get
charge,
a spare then. Yeah,
dude.
I would have picked up a spare.
Yeah, right.
Try to take over Starfleet ship. I'd bring a spare.
Dude. Like you show up on the bridge and everyone's like, "All right, Mud, we give in." And you're like, "Oh, I'm clearly not in an advantage in this situation. Let me use this as my final incarnation."
He knew,
nah.
But he thought he had control of the computer.
I don't know. I don't buy it. It wasn't amazing, but
pride cometh before the fall, though.
Yeah, no, true. Very muddy. That's a muddy end.
And he was also getting tired of having to do it over and over.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So it's like that's where I started losing minute marks because I'm like, this just keeps going over. It's hard to.
Yeah. So I mean, at what
more
point,
general.
Where are you?
Well, 11 minutes was when Mud showed up, and I was like, when he did his little like evil villain speech through the monitor, I was like, oh, this is good. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in.
At what point did you realize that the engineer was going to be the guy?
Well, I guess the second loop when he said something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forget what the line was, but he was like...
Not to be a dick, but I called it way early. I'm just saying.
That's fine.
Because he's the time loop guy, man. He's the guy who's got a mirror image of himself out there somewhere.
I just wasn't quick on the draw on that one.
Yeah, well, as soon as they redid it, I was like, oh, clearly the engineer is going to be... Stamets? Is it Stamets?
Stamets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was all over that shit. And then once I realized he wasn't going to be the main, like, you weren't going to follow him, I was like, oh.
It was interesting.
You guys are doing a hell of a job.
So well. It was a really good way to frame it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, tell me a secret.
Oh, that scene was nice, too. And she doesn't tell him anything, right?
Well, she whispered something. We don't hear it.
Oh, really?
And no, yeah, actually, he then repeats it back and we hear what it was.
I missed it.
Which
was. What was it?
She's never been in love.
Oh, I missed that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Interesting.
So like the next loop, he's like, you told me something that like only you, that only I would know if you told me, you've never told anybody else. And it's that, no, you've never been in love and I need you to trust me. And that was, yeah.
Interesting. So that explains why she trusts him on every loop, I guess.
After that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
I like too, when he was like, dance with me. Like, they were just dancing in the hall there.
Yep.
To kind of teach her how to dance, even though it didn't really matter, I guess, because she was about to get looped. So
yeah, yeah. She wouldn't have remembered it, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, okay. That makes a lot of sense now, actually. That answers some questions for me.
It was just cleverly written. It didn't feel thrown together.
Oh, it was
together.
Well done. It was really well done.
Yeah. What are the notes to have? So, Stamets kicked butt.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm starting to trust Ash. Seems genuine.
You notice how,
Tyler?
I got to talk about badges. Can we talk about badges?
I've not been paying attention to them, but go ahead.
So, first of all, Bo Burnham still doesn't have one.
She stated at the end.
Right,
of this
episode. Science specialist, well, or whatever.
Yeah,
but like doesn't have a badge.
No rank.
And then Tilly's badge, because I guess she's a cadet, is different. I could have sworn she had a regular badge.
You pay attention to that so much closer.
I'm telling you,
I
the badges are changing every time. You don't believe me, but they are. Like Tilly's badge has now a rectangular outline on it around the Star Trek insignia, and I was like, whoa, new badges? And then later I was like, oh no, it's just Tilly apparently. Like everyone else has the regular badge still.
Maybe she got promoted.
I don't know, man. I don't think she had a different badge before.
I just can't add much because I don't pay the other.
It's been bothering
me. You have a bigger TV than me. It's really
pay
what it
attention
is.
To the badges.
You have a bigger TV. This is really what it
okay,
is.
Okay, that might have something to do with it.
It does.
Get a bigger TV and then
no, just sit really close.
Badges.
That's healthy, right? Just put it right next to my face.
Watch it in a movie theater and fucking pay attention to the badges.
It could be a movie. Like, this could be on the big screen. It's the space battles are so good.
Oh, really good.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. True. We didn't have a super good one in this episode, but the next episode. Speaking of the rest of this episode, I mean, the unpredictable time loops is something I also enjoyed. Every time it was different. Like,
mm-hmm.
I expected it to be, like, it was, like, a little different,
mm-hmm.
but that made it a lot different. For instance, the collision doesn't happen in the hallway, uh-huh. and that whole scene changes, and it really got me thinking about how you can really change the flow of like what will happen by one minor thing.
One butterfly flap.
One little change, and all of a sudden...
Butterfly effect, bro.
Yeah. The whole situation. That threw me for... I spent probably the next 5 minutes of the episode...
I was paying
like,
attention to, like, to like, all the little things that were different each time.
Space time.
It was really good. What did I say? I just said I love how they brought the Stamets thing back because he's living out of time. Like, he's phasing it. He's not part of our normal time stream anymore.
Oh, I love Stamets is my new favorite character.
Yeah, he was if on the other show they have most valuable crew member award for each episode. Stamets MVC. That's shout out to Star Trek: The Next Conversation. Matt Myra and
one of our favorites,
Andy Secunda. It's really good.
Yeah, if you haven't heard of them and you've heard of us, you're fucking up.
Yeah, you're doing reverse.
But yeah, I know. I really liked his whole like, I know, believe me. The whole speech he gave to Bo Burnham. Right.
Yeah.
His whole shebang was really excellently executed.
He was
just
the
most
powerful.
I'm sick of this, guys, listen. This is what we're doing.
And I liked where she was like, I can't dance. And he's like, dance with me. And he told the story of how he met his partner and everything. That was adorable.
That was nice.
And it was because it was funny because it was like he knew everybody was going to.
Burnham wasn't going to remember it.
Did you notice them holding hands as the ship exploded?
No.
After they were dancing and the ship started to explode, they were holding hands.
No.
Is that adorable?
That
was just a nice touch.
I did not notice that at all. I'm still unclear as to why the ship exploded at all. I mean, I guess it was a mud thing.
Yeah, well, I guess. What was it the first time? He was like fucking with a spore drive. And he kept trying to fuck with it.
It just seemed like the ship exploded like every time, and I guess
no, it didn't.
It up.
I guess it. No, it didn't. It just seemed to be that everybody died.
Like in the last one, in the office, after she, I'm going to skip ahead real quick, and after she eats the,
yeah.
the black dark matter yes. or whatever, he's like, God damn
it. And it then just starts over. The ship didn't, the ship.
It did explode. It exploded. He like blew it up.
I always thought he didn't make it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, why are we doing this?
I guess somebody's pulling the
Does it have to explode every time?
Maybe Stamets is like, his like backup is always just pulling the self-destruct or something.
Maybe.
As an engineer, he'd have access to that.
I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe. He's blowing it up every time.
It's just something about can't get it, and they have to keep trying until he wins.
I mean, do you want to talk about that scene? We're kind of, I mean, we're almost there.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we've already said what we've said.
What else like do
the,
I mean?
The specifics of the episode are they keep doing this over and over again. There's not much more to it. I liked the interactions they had when they finally got to kiss. You know, it was good.
Right.
Yeah, there's. I it's a believable romance to me. She's learning how to be more human as it is with him. He doesn't judge her at all, even mm-hmm. though he knows her past.
No, it's like cute and all, but I just, for me, the romance is not the aspect of Star Trek that I'm here for.
I agree. It's... But if you watch DS9,
true.
There's a lot of romance in DS9.
Yeah, Kira and Odo.
The forever friend zone.
Yep.
Up until the seventh season, wasn't it?
No,
it was forever until they got together.
Absolutely right.
And then you had Jadzia and...
Jadzia and Worf.
And yeah.
Right. And that turned out well. Yep. And if you haven't seen that one, heartwarming story. You know what I was wondering? At some point, they have that honest conversation in the hallway.
Yeah.
And then the engineer, Stamets.
How can you not get this right already?
I don't know. Shebangets.
I recommend watching it with subtitles just freaking once so you can get the character name.
Chubots.
Stamets.
Fizzits.
Stamets.
Fibnitz. So the engineer, he's good like, he says something where he's like, you gotta do it. Like he gives her like this rousing, like, yeah. And I was like, why do we care about like, well, not why do we care, but why is this her job? You're the guy who's stuck in the time loop and you come to burn him every time. And you're like,
listen. Well, cause he said, Tyler does, like,
right. So the three of you could do it together.
Basically. Yeah. Basically,
I just felt like he was putting a lot of shit on Burnham and not taking any ownership of the issue.
He probably tried to talk to Tyler about it before in several other loops,
That's true.
It didn't work.
There's
and he noticed
we haven't seen.
that there was a chemistry there, and as he, so he
fair
worked
point,
that
fair
angle
point.
To get to Tyler as the chief of security.
He was like, those two they should be banging.
They'll be bumping uglies, so I need to get in there.
I'll you manipulate yes. that situation yes. to get this time loop crisis
I hope not.
Resolved.
Manipulate. I hope he made the I hope they benefited from it.
Well,
in the end, they did.
He's manipulating it for sure.
But
whether it's good or bad
them,
is
though.
Arguable.
He was trying to save everybody.
I mean, yeah, he's still manipulating them.
Yes,
emotionally,
he had to.
For sure.
Asshole. Needs justify.
Oh, do they? All right, Brandon. Let's get into that.
Well, that's next episode.
Yeah. What else did you want to talk about?
I love when Gabon to the bridge, when Mud came onto the bridge, and he's like, hold up there, random communications officer guy.
That was beautiful.
Great.
I really like that. I made a note about that, too, where I was like, random communications
so
guy.
He
literally,
was,
I think it was
so
random
perfect.
Communications
yes,
officer man.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, I wrote it down, too.
Yeah, it was a really good line.
Great. When he took control of the bridge, he was so perfect. He was like, on par.
He was exactly what you'd expect from Harry Mudd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Mon Capitan.
What was...
I love when he's with Lorca's room, and he's like, this looks like this melts brains. You think it melts brains? That was a good scene.
Yeah. He does a great job of that character.
I'm curious to see if and when he comes back, but at the end of this episode, it seems like he's not going to cause any more trouble.
Well, I mean, now that he doesn't have a time crystal, which is what, excuse me?
It's the Icarian's... something or other discovered
time
it, but they
crystal,
couldn't.
It's a Fergian time crystal.
Hey, they teched the tech with the tech, man.
It's a Schmagegian time crystal?
Let's
and everyone knew about it?
Well, she said, like, this one race knows about these time
Micah
crystals.
Micah was like,
but they never perfected
he's got a
it.
Time crystal.
And, well, she's the walking Vulcan library.
A
so Schmagegian
time crystal.
A Schmagegian.
A Balsakian time crystal. What is happening right now? Oh, shit, he's got a Balsakian time crystal. What? How do we not know about these? Do we not have five on the ship?
Well, she said this one race had discovered them, but they were too unstable, and he must have met one of an interdimensional race that did have a stable crystal. That's what she said.
Super specific.
There's a lot of throwaway exposition lines that you're like, could you go back on that? I rebound a couple times for things like that.
What happened?
You're like, excuse the who and the what now?
Yeah.
Like, I know we do a lot of tech-to-tech on Star Trek, but come on.
I have a lot of that.
But come on. How much tech for the past millions of years with Star Trek?
But at least, I don't know, I feel like they're getting lazy with it.
I think they actually are trying to make it a little more rounded.
It wasn't like a quantum flux relay. Or
they didn't
just
use words we know.
Oh, we got a time crystal? A crystal that manipulates time? A time crystal.
Looked a lot like a watch.
Yeah, exactly. It was a fucking, it was an Apple watch.
Omega,
Yeah. He was like, Siri. Yeah, I don't know. Cortana, what do they use? I don't fucking know.
Hey, Alexa.
Yeah, Alexa.
Start the loop again.
Alexa, restart the loop. Please restart the time loop.
Oh, man, I hope people are listening to this at home with their speakers on.
Alexa, order giant dildos.
Order 50-gallon drum of lube from Amazon.
People are just like, all right, well, we'll never watch that again.
Yeah, not my joke. I don't know, the podcast.
So let's see. I mean, that pretty much brings us to the end, right?
Which was, like I said, the way that it ended with it with his lover that he was running away from, and because I thought they would at least try to put him in prison or something like that, and that ending where it was like, oh, now he's stuck with her. That was very old school. That was so old school.
It was
to me.
Very. I actually wrote down original TOS.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I said too.
Yeah, because it was like, oh,
like they didn't airlock him.
None
they
of
didn't
this
throw
makes
him in a
sense.
Federation prison.
We haven't talked about this whole situation much before.
Uh-huh.
What we're gonna do is you're gonna pop in and you're gonna be his girlfriend, and we're just gonna be like, hey.
It turns out she's really clingy and got a dad who's got a lot of power.
Yeah,
and they were just like, keep him away from us.
I actually written down, why didn't they fucking shoot him like 9 times?
They could have.
Because every time he's just like, hey,
well,
how you doing? I'm
in the next episode, we find out Federation does not execute prisoners.
No, true, but you could stun a motherfucker.
You definitely could.
I'm just saying. And I don't know if that would have worked or not with his time crystal.
Yeah.
But you could have tried.
Yeah, certainly.
He walked in and shot the captain how many times?
Oh, yeah.
Not one of those times did somebody fucking shoot
that
motherfucker?
He had that Harry Potter force field computer control, apparently.
Yeah.
Every time somebody tried to shoot him, it was like, oh, convenient.
They only showed that in the fucking the engineering section and
we
shit.
Did on the
I
bridge,
guess,
too.
I guess he would have been like, oh, you didn't think I thought to control all the force fields? Right, of course. Which doesn't explain why they didn't do it the fucking first time, but whatever.
He did it, hundreds of times.
So here's my big problem with the episode. You ready? You ready for it? So Michael gives that whole speech in his office and is like, you need me and blah, blah, blah. But when she kills herself, they then go back in the time loop and basically execute her plan. Except she wouldn't remember her plan. Because she doesn't remember the time loops. That's Stamets.
Yeah, she needed to. Well, I think she had figured out that plan with Stamets prior to going into the office.
She would have had to, right?
So Stamets,
that
would have
been the only way it worked.
So Stamets,
is if she was like,
all
right, listen, here's my plan.
Yeah, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to offer myself.
And then the next time around, she's like, he's like, hey, you told me this plan that we were going to do. And I think that's still the plan to do.
Password. So trust me. And
yeah.
I think that's, he was able to finally get to everybody quick enough.
I guess so. And that's, I guess the I've never been in love thing is the key word that lets.
I was hoping it'd be more of juicy secret or funnier secret. Well, or something a little bit more interesting.
I mean, we were watching it. The idea that we thought of was, I killed T'Kuvma on purpose.
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
I can't take credit for that. That's Christine.
No, props.
Yeah.
That would have been a good way to...
Right? I killed T'Kuvma intentionally.
Stun to kill.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Mm.
But, nope. Shucks. Didn't do it. Missed an opportunity. Went with the love thing. Kind of gay, but what are you going to do? So that was my big problem with the whole situation. As they were talking about the Klingons, I was like, not going to be the Klingons. Wrote that down.
That was pretty good.
I was like, clearly, we've turned the tables on Mud. How badly do you read a situation where you're like, well, clearly I'm in charge here?
Well,
Oh, no, I'm not? Oh, shit. You guys seemed a little too cocky, but I fucking threw in my time crystal already, so what a schmuck am I?
A bit.
The con artist of con artists doesn't realize she's being conned. I thought that was just a little weak. They were all a little too wry for the situation to just be like, oh, I'll just go into this blindly.
Well, he was hesitant, and he...
He didn't seem very hesitant.
Well, he knew of what Captain Lorca did to the Baran, and when he was like, I don't want a repeat of the Baran. And he was like, all right.
Sounds like bullshit.
Yeah. Well, he's not the world's greatest, the universe's greatest criminal.
No, no, he's not, but he's certainly a con artist. Too. He's a con man, but I just felt like he fell for that a little too easy. It just seemed a little obvious.
Well, I don't know how else they would have done it.
But yeah, I mean, they threw him with his ex-wife, and
that was really good.
Solved the whole
problem. That was
an
interesting way to end it. So I thought it was going to be more violent at the end, but I was like, that was very old school throwback there, yeah. The way they did that. Right?
Yeah, no, it was very well done.
Yeah.
The whole, like, I could almost hear the do-do-do-do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Music
that's exactly.
From TOS.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was like, oh, my wife? Oh, I never thought this was going to come back about me in the ass.
And then everybody's laughing. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's exactly. Felt so old school threat.
Looks like you'll be going on your honeymoon, Mud. And then Spock doesn't get it. Yeah, no, it was very TOS. Very TOS.
Michael's there going, do I laugh? Am I supposed to laugh?
Yeah, exactly. This is awkward. We're imprisoning him, right? All right, okay.
I'm just surprised it wasn't more violent after he had murdered a lot of people.
Well, but he didn't.
Because they were all okay.
Exactly. He didn't murder any of those fuckers.
I guess that's the interesting part about
it. Yep. Piece of cake.
It's messed up, actually. Kind of.
Well, that's the problem with time loops, because you can just do whatever, and it all comes back with no
problem.
That's
why you always say, like, when people say, well, any superpower, time control. Time control is the only one you need.
It's the one to have.
That's the only one you need.
Yep. But you got to fuck with it a little bit, or else it isn't an interesting story.
Well, yeah. I thought the way they ended that was really good. Stamets was really great in this. He was the most valuable crew member.
Overall, yeah. I thought they did a hell of an episode. This has been my favorite so far.
Yeah.
I looked forward to the next one, which, what do we got right now? We're 42 minutes in.
Perfect.
We can get the next episode in and do just a little longer of an episode.
Did you want to
put
in a sponsor break?
You guys are in for a two-parter. I was just thinking, actually, what we'll do is, I mean, unless you had anything more to say about this one,
So, yeah, let's do, like, a quick break.
Yeah, you want to do, like, a fiver, and in the meantime, our audience can take a brief word from our sponsor. Stamps.mattress.com.
Yeah.
Casper.
There it is.
There we go. We're back in action. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed our sponsorship from, I don't know who's paying for this shit these days. But God knows it's not us.
That insert sponsor here.
Yeah. The stamps dot whatever.
Yep.
I don't know. Go to the post office, folks. They're not paying us for this shit. So here we are, episode 8. Episode 8.
Titled, I think it was Latin. It's Si Vis Pacem, comma Parabellum.
And Brandon, what does that mean in English?
I didn't look it up.
Very good.
I can do that
done.
Pretty easily.
This is impressive. Guys, you guys are looking for the research. We've done it. Not this time or ever.
I can check it right now.
I actually am now curious as to what it actually means.
Because, I mean, they love to do those Latin titles. It's like,
well, they're snooty Federation types.
If you want peace, prepare for war.
Oh.
Oh, that is... Okay, now I get it.
I get it.
Okay, that is...
Enough said. It's gotten.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh. So as soon as it started, you opened up with a really rockin' space battle.
Oh, yeah.
A rockin' battle.
Right
really
off
good. Yes.
The bat.
Yeah.
And I was excited to hear, like, we've got bridge people.
Uh-huh.
He's like, Lieutenant, what was his fucking name? Mr. Reese.
Yeah.
Mr. Reese, yes. and also Black Chick.
And the robot deck officer lady is Arim. I wrote that down.
Arim?
I had the subtitles on. Arim, M with an M. It's like the word air and then AM.
Yep, no, she's still there. And also...
I thought we were going to get an instruction to her, but she was just...
Who was the Black Chick? Did you get her?
No.
They talked about her. They were like, hey, you
next time
do a thing
next time.
And I was like, ah, we're getting all
I do
these
feel
names.
Like we need like a character roster sheet.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, well, we don't. The problem is we're not dealing with a lot of the senior staff,
and we've not been introduced to any of them.
Exactly. So we don't know any of these fucking people. They're all just hanging out on the bridge doing a great job, I suppose. But
this one,
Lorca likes to slum it.
Yeah, this episode on the whole,
not as big a fan.
Not as good as the previous one.
I almost hate to finish our episode on this episode after
it stinks.
Such an excellent
agreed
first
I
half.
Wish we could have. I wish they had flipped it, but for the I know, for where the story is going, if you did you see the teaser for the next episode?
Probably, but I didn't pay
well, you
any
saw the
attention
end of the
to it.
The end
so,
of the
yeah,
episode
you know.
Was the cliffhanger. And it, so, yeah, this one on the whole, though, was a very long setup.
The whole thing was just like, oh, spirit creatures, and Saru is getting molested by them.
But it turns out it was really him and his brother. That's what I wrote. Anyways, let's scale back here.
Take it back a notch.
So.
Take it back.
Opened up with a very epic space battle.
Take it right back.
Yes. They noticed, they realized that all the Klingon ships were able to cloak now.
So well, I don't know if it's all of them, but it's a lot of them.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, yeah. It's not just that one ship anymore.
Right.
Yep.
Hey, just brief note. I actually think I wrote down, like, where are the Klingons? Because, like, we hadn't seen them in the longest time. And then, of course, we get a bunch of them in this episode. But not the albino, which we still have not seen.
Where did he go?
Since, like, 4 episodes ago.
I didn't watch the video because it would have spoiled it. But on YouTube, I saw this one that's like, is Tyler actually that guy? And, like, he sacrificed everything to be, like, changed into a human.
Oh, interesting.
It's a theory, and that's exactly
you
what
watching spoilers?
The fuck I'm is not. Wrong with you?
Jesus Christ.
They're man. In my feed, but I don't watch them. Like, I just scroll past them as quick as possible.
So is that the fan theory right now? Is
no,
Tyler
I don't think it's
a,
I don't think
the
it's the prevailing one, but it's
I'll
a
tell
theory.
You what,
it's
culturally, he's doing a great job of assimilating.
He fits just fine, so I don't know if I buy
it's a little too convenient.
That would be a little, but he's got to come back.
If that becomes the case, they got to do a really good job explaining that.
I just thought it was an interesting theory that I saw.
It's an interesting theory.
Yeah, because he just kind of disappeared out of the dialogue. And
then Tyler
showed up. Meh, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. I see how that could go. But
he did lie about his background.
He did, but only a little bit.
Yeah, and only just fucked the captain, I guess.
Yeah.
Or whatever that was.
I don't know. The whole, that would be, they would really have to sell it hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As like, oh yeah, and we imbued him with all knowledge of Earth culture and their mating rituals.
I'll tell you what.
And how to be super fucking cool episode.
Yeah, right.
His
yeah.
attitude
no, he's
and,
not, it
and
can't
mannerisms
be. It
are
could,
nothing
it's
like.
It's not him, then.
Yeah, it couldn't be. I mean, that Klingon guy was kind of two-dimensional.
It was pretty.
Ash Tyler is fucking cool as fuck.
The new Fonz. The Fonz of Discovery.
Oh, yeah.
The mechanics. And then I liked how he said the mechanics of flighting the cloaked ship, they figured it out, like, where they're like, they can't fire while cloaked. Okay. All right. We have to then just keep your head on a swivel or whatever. Like, as soon as they decloak, target them.
Yeah. So it's not like OP as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did write down Aaron, robot chick.
Oh, you wrote it too? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hope we get to know
even without
people.
The subtitles on, Brandon, right. Mr. fucking subtitles over here. I don't know just why you want to read while you watch the show.
It's for when I'm like I'm writing my notes and I'm, what was that line? It's on the bottom of the screen.
The holographic Vulcan is back.
Yes.
And still is boring.
Well, he
as
seems
ever.
Like the acting like head admiral now.
Yeah. He's terrible.
What's her name?
Just dry as fuck.
Well, he's a Vulcan.
Yeah, I guess so. And we're not calling them cloaking devices. We're calling them invisibility screens.
Now, I guess.
Which, okay, that's cool, I guess.
It's the first time they've run into him. Although, you'd think, we could call things cloaking now.
Right,
because of Star Trek.
In the 21st century, we use the term cloaking device, so you'd think at that point.
But we also got it from Star Trek.
Well, exactly. So when Star Trek goes from being a TV show to reality, you think they're going to use all the same terminology, right?
I hope so.
Just to make it easy.
Definitely.
When we discover Vulcan, the first alien race we discover, no matter what they are,
yeah,
well, like,
you're
Vulcans.
Vulcans. No, we're not. We're going to call you Vulcans, though.
We actually call ourselves Scarrans.
Oh, God.
Nope, Vulcans, guys. Enjoy the party. The
best
invisibility screens.
I said best action scenes in the series so far. Like, the series has just got the best Star Trek action scenes since the movies.
They do a really good job. And
the money is there. The production quality is there.
And like we were saying before, it's so much more high stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Where
yes.
it's like, oh, shit.
Like, and that the Gagarin was the ship that they were trying to save, and they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
They lost it.
Yep, died it right off the get-go.
It was rough.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, there's time to mourn later. We gotta do our job. We gotta go.
Yeah, I'm also upset with Saru.
I am too.
Dumb as fuck.
I am too.
Kind of a bitch.
He kind of betrayed a lot of... Well, I have a very interesting note here that I'll get to later.
Well, also, not to backtrack, but where was his threat ganglia the whole last episode? Where Mud just walked onto the bridge 80 times?
Right?
It's like, hey, buddy.
He'd sense that at least when the door's open.
Yeah, I thought you were on top of this shit. And then this episode, he ends up being a putz.
Yeah,
I was just like, Saru, kind of disappointed. But you know what? He's got to take a fall so that Bo Burnham can fucking be captain.
That's what you called. You called the last...
I'm telling you, man. Just wait for it.
We recorded that, right? When you were calling that?
I think so.
Okay, good. I hope so.
Just for future reference, I think Bo Burnham is going to become the captain of the ship because Saru's going to suck dick. Right. Michael Bay. I think Michael Bay is going to become captain because I think Lorca's going to die or be disgraced and Saru just can't hack it. We've seen it a number of times. Saru is not up to
snuff. He doubts himself so much.
He's not up to snuff.
Yeah, he second guesses himself.
He's a prey animal. He's built to die.
A little bit of weak character.
He's a pussy.
His character.
Huge vagina.
Wow.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he kind of looks like one.
With that face, he's certainly not going to lay it.
I still think he's a great actor, though. It's a great performance.
Actor,
he's solid.
Actor aside,
what he can do through that makeup is impressive.
No, he does a great job at acting like a total bitch.
As far as his character goes,
yeah.
He's kind of a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm. I've never liked a race of individuals less, except the Jews.
My God, Dave, please.
What? In Star Trek. I'm just saying. Historically, Star Trek, they haven't been great.
You mean the Ferengi.
Right. The Jews.
Space Jews.
Right. What were you talking about? Ooh, Brandon, that's racist.
No, I didn't say
that
anything.
That is pretty cold. Anyway, once Brandon can't get over his bigotry, let's talk about the Klingons for a second. She looks good for someone who had half her face blasted off.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the Klingon chick?
Yeah.
She looking fine. I tap that.
I'm also, just right before that, they referred to the Klingon ship of the dead. They recognized it. They knew it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a
so
thing.
Now it is the sarcophagus.
Sure. Which the Klingons don't even talk about much anymore.
They call it the sarcophagus.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
There's still all these dead bodies all over it?
Apparently.
It doesn't seem convenient, but
again,
okay.
I don't know.
Also, was one of her eyes a different color? Which is what happens when you get hit by a phaser blast.
Yes.
Changes your eye color.
I don't know if it was a different color, but she had a different, like, she had a different...
It was a different color. She had a blue eye and a brown eye.
Yeah, well...
It's fucking bullshit.
I don't think so.
Is that like, laser eye surgery of the future? It's like, we're going to take this phaser.
Dude, people have... The chick who got half her face blown off in the first episode has, like, a different colored eye on that side of her face.
Does she?
Yeah. Because in my assumption, it's a cybernetic eye.
Interesting. Yeah. Maybe.
It's just two colored eyes now.
Okay. That would actually be more understandable.
Yeah.
I did not pick that up.
Klingons can fix that stuff too, I guess.
Okay, I guess the Klingons are fucking surgical.
Probably don't have
experts.
As much anesthesia, but they
better
can
one
fix it.
Or two.
What?
One or two.
Wait, can you go back?
Better fake eye or half your face melted off? Fake eye. Or
it was
face
interesting
melt.
That she was. I still didn't catch her name, but just interesting that she was the focus of the Klingon side of things.
It's Sarah.
Well. What?
Sarah?
Is it?
S A R A H.
No, it's not.
It's with an H, just an S A R A.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, she's very picky about that. I have no fucking idea.
I hate you.
No, I don't know.
I could look it up, but...
I don't pick up anybody's names. You think I'm going to pick up the Klingon chick?
It's very too fast.
You're lucky I've got T'Kuvma.
A lot of things are real fast.
I just call the other guy the albino.
I know. And the House of Kor? One guy from House of Kor?
Is that the red-faced gentleman?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I think he was the House of Kor.
He's from the House of Kor. I think his name is Cole, maybe?
I don't want to jump ahead.
The Klingon names in this are not as... memorable as
no, not at all.
Anything in a previous series.
But I also feel like it is because they speak exclusively Klingon, only
yeah.
to each other.
It's hard for us to then keep tracks of it.
Yeah.
Yes, as a viewer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but overall, I mean, I was glad to see the Klingons again. I missed them more than I thought. They were not in the whole last Harry Mudd episode.
Yeah. Well, that was a bottle, kind of. It was a bottle episode. A very expensive bottle episode, but it was a bottle episode.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a bottle service.
Do you know what that is?
It's where you have a standalone episode that doesn't really have to do with the shit that's going on around it.
No, bottle episode is like it's like kind of the ship in the bottle idea. You're doing it all with existing sets and existing stuff, so you don't have to spend as much money. Like a lot of DS9 were bottle episodes. Remember the one where they got caught in the refinery in DS9 and they had like that and Dukat has to come in and save them because he had built their security systems.
I just feel that's like that's every episode.
A lot of Star Trek has bottle episodes.
Well, isn't that just like strategic like planning where you're like, we're going to film this in the shuttle bay and we're going to film this on the bridge?
No, I'm just from a broadcasting
perspective.
You don't
have to create a whole new set.
Broadcasting perspective, those are called bottle episodes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and that to my one of my notes here was like, oh, finally an away team on a planet. We have yet to see an away team on a planet except for the second of the first pilot. We, you know, when they were on the desert planet.
Is that true?
No other away teams have there been.
I had not picked up on that.
No other away teams on planets.
Good work.
Yeah,
I mean, especially it's super convenient that Burnham and Ash keep getting sent on like shit together. Like, hey, could we maximize the interaction between these two renegade crew members?
Feels a little High School Musical.
Feels a little contrived, if you ask me.
Like,
Lorca's playing matchmaker.
A little bit, I think. A little bit, maybe,
Yeah, fucking sicko. Sent his girlfriend to be murdered by Klingons. But he's still cool, I guess. We haven't seen him be a total dick in the last two episodes, so I guess we're meant to forget that he's a total shithead. But, okay.
We'll see. I'm rooting that he's a good guy, but he's already shown that he's not.
So,
finally an away team on a planet.
When they talk about General Order 1
mm-hmm.
versus the First Contact Protocol.
Yes, so two separate things.
General Order 1 is obviously the prime directive.
Yes,
right,
do not interfere with, or do not contact species that haven't
But then once it's already done, I guess you move on to First Contact Protocol, where you're like, well, damage is done. Guess we might as well hang out.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, which I was like, I don't remember a lot of talk about the First Contact Protocol previously, but...
No, but I hope they explore it, and they did a little bit in this.
I feel like the General Order 1 is actually, that's a TOS thing. I think
you're right.
They call it the Prime Directive, yes. It was General Order 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Which is great, obviously. And again... I'm still just stoked about the sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
The transporter effects, the bridge sounds, everything.
Technically speaking, it's beautiful.
The sound
it's
effects
great.
Are
yes.
the best part of the
oh,
show.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me.
They threw so many old little sounds and... like.
Oh, yeah. All the classics. Like redone, obviously. Mm-hmm. But like,
yeah.
You could tell
but mixed
what
in well,
for.
But it was so... But you could still identify easily.
Yeah. They've done a solid job with that. I mean,
this episode was less remarkable, though.
I was not a huge fan overall,
of course.
Especially compared to the last. Of course, fuck you.
No, I'm because I agree. It was a weaker one.
Of course,
the
you
one
were,
before.
You critical cocksucker.
Yeah. One of the two of us is gonna like something less. it's gonna be.
So, did they not know there was life on the planet when they showed up?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
They didn't.
They didn't. They
and
discovered
that's
the glowy
they could,
people
and even when
later.
She scanned it, she said, like, it's reading as if it's part of the forest.
Right. So they came down to investigate the big spire
mm-hmm.
of crystal,
mm-hmm.
the big crystal beanstalk
mm-hmm.
that fucking leads up to
yes.
the giant's castle with the golden egg.
No.
That whole situation.
Yes.
And they had no idea nobody's living here. Despite the fact they spent half the episode living out of a glowing hut.
Yeah, that one was interesting.
Yeah, nobody was like, hey, Captain, I think I found a glowing hut.
Well, they didn't find the glowing hut until they found the beings.
Yeah, weird how we don't have scanners anymore.
It's also weird how accommodating of them to build a hut for people who need a hut.
We're not corporeal, so we don't need this ship. We have some glowing huts here.
We have a very nice guest hut.
And you got to figure a series of glowing huts because they certainly didn't just transport down next to the only one by accident.
Yeah.
You got to figure those are all over the place. So they were like, we did not do
maybe
our
they were
research.
Able to like, maybe since they're like ethereal, maybe they were just able to be like, build it really quick.
Oh, it was for them? They
yeah.
specifically
yeah, yeah,
rose
yeah.
it out of the ground?
Maybe.
Okay. I would have liked a little bit more
sure.
of that. If
elaboration
I'm
would be
I'm
nice.
Supposed to believe that shit.
I can fill the plot holes
but
with
yeah,
headcanon,
so
no problem.
They show up and buttfuck Saru in the middle of the night.
That was it, yeah.
And then he goes full retard. And
you never go forward.
Well, Saru does.
And that's what...
He starts plucking phasers out of people's hands. But also, Saru, super strong. Do we know that?
Apparently.
I don't know that we knew that.
I didn't know it prior to this either.
Okay. So that wasn't something I missed.
No.
Saru just takes two communicators just in his hand.
Crushes
them.
Well,
which also,
like,
I mean... I guess if you're in the military, I guess I get it, but just like, I'm going to need your communicators.
Man, it's future plastic. How strong can it be?
Oh, okay. Well, just here's my communicator, Sarge.
That was, like, even as I was watching, like, don't do it.
Right? They weren't suspicious at all,
like,
as soon as he
really?
Said that.
He's all, like, happy now and fine and mm-hmm. thinks that these people are awesome.
He had like a wicked hangover when he went to bed, but he woke up and he was feeling great.
But they saw the war in his head, and they...
Yeah, that was the whole thing, right?
The
they
setup.
Saw the
yeah.
war.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. And they called the Klingons in, which is a whole different thing, which we'll talk about.
Yeah. Well, we're getting there, I guess. But,
yeah.
Good to see Michael. I said good to see Michael. Like, she's getting some fucking character development, basically. I'm still, like, now I'm starting to root for her. Even though the show has been focused on her for 8 episodes, now I'm finally like, okay, I'm getting behind her. Like, it's good. She's the hero of the show.
I'd get behind her. Anyway. Ash Tyler got the right idea.
Yeah, woo! Right?
Tell you what.
Jumping on that shit. White on rice.
Seriously, though, Vulcans are like a cold fish in bed.
I got to imagine.
I mean, you figure, right? Only once every 7 years?
Do they pong far?
She's got no game.
No.
No skills.
Well, she's
I'll
human.
Tell you what. Well, yeah, but she's been living with Vulcans.
Yeah, right.
Which means she has not learned
she's
anything.
She's never been in love.
I'll tell you. Well, yeah. Or been loved.
Apparently. You're left to assume. Anyways.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see she's getting some character development.
She's all right. She's good, but
you're
she's
still not 100% about it.
She's too Vulcan. She's too dry. I get it. That's
right,
what they're
bones.
Doing. That's what they're doing, but it's weird to have a main character that's Spock, you know what I mean? Like, what if Data was the main character?
Oh, yeah, it'd be weird.
It'd be a little dry.
It'd be off-putting because Data's creepy at times.
Exactly. That's kind of my point. You have just like this super straight edge, like, I'm totally unrelatable. And it's like, okay.
Yeah,
and I guess the whole point is that we're supposed to get to know her
we're seeing
and start
her
relating to
as
her.
She's hopefully redeeming herself and everything like that. She's
so maybe that's
regaining
the whole point
her humanity as well. That is the whole point.
That's
it's pretty obvious.
That's what's turning me off to her.
Oh.
That she's just like, I can't. Now I'm starting to. I guess you're right.
Like, yeah. It only took me up to
yeah,
this episode.
She's
these
growing on me.
Exactly.
And that's what she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
In which case, good work, CBS, NBC, whoever the fuck is making this thing.
It's CBS.
QRS.
CBS non-access.
Yeah, yeah.
CBS gate.
CBS, we don't want anyone to watch this because we've
yeah,
got it on our own.
We're still pissed about that.
We're still pissed, guys.
Oh, no, let it be known. Still pissed.
Still pissed. Yeah. Anyway.
That's neither here nor there.
I guess we'll get over that. And, I mean, so Saru turns into a bitch. Totally
yeah,
went, fucking...
So at first I was like, is he possessed? Or is something like, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out he had just gone native because he had found his paradise.
Yeah, I guess so.
He wasn't
right?
under any sort of control. He just kind of went a little mad.
And he wasn't, right? That was the whole point.
That was the point. That's
although,
what she asked at the end.
That's a fine line.
That's what he asked. That's what she asked at the end. Like, were you possessed? And he's like, no, I'd finally found like the most perfect paradise of peace.
Hmm. That's a fine line, man, between being like mentally manipulated and being mentally manipulated.
My line here is, I said in the middle of the episode when Tyler was talking about the vendetta that he has against the Klingons and wants to just hurt them regardless. I said, if I were the captain, I'd have my entire crew under psych eval. Everybody has baggage.
Right.
Everybody has a performance affecting baggage.
Everyone's
got
to get
everybody's
a fucking
got trauma.
Checkup.
Like this Discovery, like the halfway home
well,
of the universe.
War,
it's fucking. Everybody's
we're in
got
the middle
some
of a Klingon
serious
war.
Issues who are on there, and they're in places of power. Like
these guys are fucked up.
Yeah, they should. A lot of people should be going to see some therapists.
Maybe
like,
some shore leave,
medication
is in order.
For some of these people. Because
we need a Deanna Troi.
That's what
board.
They're missing. They're missing a ship's counselor.
Yeah.
They are.
They
are.
Need to be able to talk it out.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I actually that's a good
they're
call.
All real fucked up.
They are. Everybody's breaking down, including Lorca. He's not helping.
Well, yeah,
he's throwing his girlfriend
is running
to the
asylum
wolves, which is another thing we didn't even talk about, which is that Lorca's girlfriend shows up in this episode.
Yes,
Admiral Prisoner Pants.
Admiral, poor ex girlfriend.
Yeah,
yeah. I could not. Okay, so going to the part where. She tried to see, or the female Klingon was trying to turn.
Right.
Don't know if that was sincere or not, but
me
when
neither.
By the end of it, you kind of figured it was.
So
because you saw that room where she found her allies all disemboweled. And
did I miss something? Did she
that,
let
in the hallway?
Woman
it
go?
Was weird. They
well, no.
were trying to.
I kind of got that. She was like, oh, at least she won't die in a cell. And then she does the thing, and I thought she had killed her.
I think she did too. But they left that camera on her long enough for me to go, I don't think she's dead.
So then she's dragging the body around, and she drags it to this room, which with, is like the her
corpse,
buddies.
The corpse room, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what
and
is this?
And then she
this?
Finds the bodies of all of her allies.
Yeah. This is just a janitor's closet where we've been sticking these bodies.
Before
and she
we
just happened to
before
walk
Before we
in.
Put them on the hull, I guess.
So... And then she goes back and has a conversation with the core guy.
Well, she's trying to ingratiate herself into it. So
I didn't
she
understand.
Can
I was like,
be the one to kill him.
Didn't he just kill all these people?
She wants to be by his side and like stab him through the back.
But
that's the point. She's vowing allegiance just so she can kill him and get revenge.
At the end, there they talk about how the admiral got away.
Yeah,
how she escaped. And I couldn't understand that. When did she escape? I didn't see that. Did I miss that?
Well, that's what, like, she said, like, she got away from me and I had to fight her.
Oh.
They had to play that fight and killed her.
Okay, the scene in the hallway is what you're talking about, where
it
she,
was,
quote unquote, got away.
I want to watch that scene over again, too, because it was like, it was a little less believable. If I was seeing two people walking together and then all of a sudden get into a fight, I'd be like, what were you doing before that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously.
That was a little put on.
This dude is an idiot if he does not suspect this chick. Mm-hmm. Like from
he
the,
does.
From
I
the
mean,
moment
he's
where,
suspicious.
Well, I think so. But like, you need to kill her.
Yeah, he should.
I think from the moment where she turned on the albino and that whole thing, and then like all of a sudden, the albino escaped too. Apparently,
and they mentioned the albino and that he was driven away.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we know what has been happened to him.
Yeah, but how do you not know that this chick is
from the House of Spies?
Yeah.
Her house is the House of Spies.
Right there, you should have been suspicious, pal.
Right?
Oh, hey, how you doing? I'm from the House of Spies. Oh, well, let me trust you immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Come on in.
But that was interesting. Where
chicken leg?
I don't know if I believe the defection, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Well,
It played on a little bit of, like, Klingon political history that we've seen before. And
yeah, I kind of think I do believe
it. I kind of believed it, too, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she had to, unfortunately, change her plans.
Yeah, if they hadn't run into Kor in the hallway, which, super inconvenient and poorly planned.
Yeah.
Inconvenient. I think they would have just left.
I think she meant to really defect.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Or she would have been a triple agent defecting and then get secrets and come back. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
I don't know where, I don't know how to trust her.
Well, I mean... You can't trust her because she's from the House of Spies, obviously.
Yeah.
So from the
get-go...
But
I think she is seeing the ruination of the Klingon Empire, and she's like...
Maybe. Maybe she's just still on what's-his-face's side.
And maybe it was...
The albino.
It's a long con. Maybe it's...
Yeah.
It could be. I'm with you on that.
Right? Maybe she's working for somebody else entirely.
I don't even know if we're going to see the albino come back by the end of the series at this point.
You don't think so?
Well, because the next one's the finale.
Yeah, that's weird.
I watched the little trailer for it, and... I'm not going to say anything then.
Well, he's got to come back by the...
I'm sure he'll show up like the end
second
of
half of the season
episode.
Or something, right?
Yeah, he'll make some dramatic entrance at the end of this
I don't know. That's
episode.
A good question. I hadn't thought about it either. But I figured we'd see him again soon.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's been a long time. What has it been? At least 3-4 episodes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, send you to the
Matrix. Well.
Yeah.
And they were just like, we're done.
Yeah, no.
We're writing his storyline out.
I don't know. That was... He's got to come back. Or he's Ash Tyler.
You'd
but again,
hope so.
I know.
Ash Tyler.
Ash Tyler's too smooth.
He is.
He is too
no
smooth.
No way you become that smooth.
No.
Just by hanging out with a bunch of Klingon matrons.
Which I don't have never heard of them before.
They're like, here's what you do. Get the motorcycle. Show up. You get to have like a 3-day-old beard. And just speak sexy. Just show up. You say, can we dance?
This is denim. you wear jeans.
From that whole first scene when they go to like the rave where he's just
saying, yeah.
I was gonna ask you to dance, but then I decided to be cool. You want to dance anyway?
I thought it was cute.
It's just like what's happening right now?
That was cute. Female Klingon, so untrustworthy, but she's mirroring the shifts in Klingon historical politics that we've seen already.
Yeah. I don't know what else did you have for notes?
I saw when that moment when Tyler pulled rank on Michael, where he's like, "Well, as the senior officer now." I'm sorry. And it's like, oh, but you two are like basically banging.
True.
That's the problem with Dayton.
I liked how they had a whole needs of the many conversation.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, that was.
But they kind of came out to the opposite conclusion.
Absolutely. I saw the selfish
they were
conclusion.
Like, yeah, but the needs of the few or the one are actually more important.
Yeah.
So
that was
fuck
a little,
that shit.
That was a little, Yeah.
I was like, really? We're just reworking that? Okay, you're right. Fuck the community.
The
individual is what matters.
I don't think it was meant to carry that much weight. It was more of like a, you know, the needs of my heart. You know, I think that's what it meant.
Yeah, but then it does carry a lot of weight as like a Star Trek concept.
I suppose.
That's like an overarching, like, the needs of the many.
Oh, yeah, they did, like,
the needs of the society or the ship.
Undoubtedly. But bent that concept over and fucked it in the ass.
Yeah, they kind of crumbled it a little bit.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I liked how they brought it up, but...
But they also like showing that these people make mistakes in this universe.
That's true.
So then that...
For now, until it fractures into a mirror and Kirk shows up.
Yeah, and they get...
Guys!
My brain hurts wrong. So much still trying to think
Let's
about
fight
that.
A guard.
I don't understand how it's going to...
With fight. A rocket launcher. made of bamboo.
Yeah, Tyler pulling rank on Michael. I was like, ooh, snap. Like, ooh.
We talked about Sarah being strong. Michael being so hung up on the Prime Directive, I was like, listen, chick, it's over. Like, you're way too invested in this at this point.
Yeah.
Just get over it.
Yeah.
This is a dire situation.
Yeah.
You just say, fuck the Prime Directive, completely. Knock out this crystal pillar, and move on with your day. She was way into it.
Yeah.
Like,
we have to make sure that they're okay with us using it now that we've already contacted them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, we kind of have... Well, that's general order number one, basically.
What was with the rock, the magic rock?
I don't know, but I was like, don't touch it, man. Don't touch it. And also, how did those ethereal beings warp him there?
Yeah, at the end.
Because freaking, what's-his-face, established earlier in the... Saru, earlier in the episode, can run at 80 kilometers an hour, had booked it to where Michael was, mm-hmm. but the ethereals then were just like, hey, boop. we're gonna bring you to this conflict resolution, too.
Deus Ex Machina!
Yeah, basically. Yep, that's exactly what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of bullshit. I mean, if they have all these gifts, I mean, maybe we'll see more of the next episode, and it'll become obvious. But,
it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, I was like, why are you touching that stone? Well, Sari was clearly fucked right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, I'd be like, no thanks.
Oh, yeah, magic stone? Also, where the fuck did Sari get a magic stone?
I don't know, man.
They communicated with him ethereally.
Yeah.
Through, like, some sort of mind link. And then he's like, touch this rock. Your intentions are impure.
Yeah, there's a lot of diplomacy going on behind closed doors that didn't add up when you saw
the whole episode was a bit stretchy.
Yeah, it was.
Everything was a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
I did not understand that.
It was undoubtedly weak. I like the fight, like the action, the fighting at the end, like when she was fighting Sarah, it was pretty good.
Sure.
Like, action-wise.
Sure. But, hey, stun him a couple more times.
Yeah, that was great, right?
She's like, stun. Hey, stop. He's like, no. Stun. Hey, please stop. No. And then she's like, I should probably fight him now. No, stun him again.
Yeah, just like,
beep, 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 beep. You know how fast I can pull a trigger?
Yeah.
Faster than that, tell you what.
Yeah.
She half-assed that whole thing.
Yeah, and apparently he was either like super strength or just stun settings are really weak.
Yeah, what does that mean? Stun doesn't work on Cyrus race?
Apparently.
Maybe you need a new phaser, guys.
Yeah.
Who did not put that in the manual? Yeah.
It just seemed a
little... He wasn't possessed
part
or
of, yeah, that's why I was at first.
Way.
I was like,
so
oh,
was
maybe
just,
he's
that was all
super
him.
Strength possessed. But no, as he said at the end, it was all him.
Yep. So that was just him. Just being baller.
Yeah.
He was like, stun doesn't mean shit to me.
Yeah, Starfleet Protocol has been broken across the board.
Oh, well, not if you're Michael. You adhere to it every moment of every day.
That's true.
Even if you're in a glowing hut on a non-corporeal planet that's clearly not subject to the Prime Directive, but when it comes to mutiny against your captain, that's when you fucking break the rules. None of this makes sense. What's happening?
Well, she's trying to learn. She's trying to, I guess, I don't know, redeem herself and stick to it as much as she can.
Poor decision-making skills.
I agree. But yeah, I said Starfleet Protocol was super broken in this episode a lot.
Oh, every time you turn around.
I feel like it's going out the window.
I totally forgot halfway through what our mission even was until they reminded me of the beacon thing. They were like, we got to do this beacon. I was like, oh, right. I forgot because Saru is going nuts and all this other shit's happening.
Yeah.
But right, the beacon.
Yeah.
Sure. Which was clearly not a natural formation. I don't know how you made that mistake,
right,
guys. Who on the bridge, random science officer communications guy?
Like, oh, this one spire that is like taller than all the
obviously
trees.
Obviously an accident.
Yeah, exactly.
Captain, we've discovered a beanstalk. We're pretty sure it's natural in origin.
We found this naturally existing radio tower.
What?
No.
Oh, does it send radio signals? Yes, naturally. Right. Yeah, okay.
They pull like crap like that all the time.
Let's send three people down.
Hey, maybe send five. Maybe a couple more would help.
Just three. Just three.
And just also, by three most unstable officers. Go for it.
And what was the whole thing about they couldn't communicate and sorry, like, faked it? So, like, did they know going down there that they were going to be cut off? That was silly. Like, it brings you back to the first episode where they were like, burn them. Get in this spaceship. We're going to rocket you out there with no backup plan. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
They fly a little bit by the seat of their pants too much.
Yeah, it's a little bit un-Starfleet, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But, hey, it worked out brilliantly, and nothing bad came of it. So,
except for the fact that all the Klingons have now been invited to this planet.
Well, I mean, you got to figure it'll end peacefully, right?
That's what they're naively trying to do. I thought that was interesting.
Is it when Lorca dies? Is that what happens? No, not until the second half of the first season, probably.
You're waiting for it. I don't want to see him die. He's a great actor.
I also like how they just like linked up like a PC, like a fucking laptop to the crystal beanstalk.
Stuck on the rock.
He was just like, let me just USB.
Good
this.
Thing it's USB compatible.
Right into this crystal beanstalk. Like someone comes and smashes it. Tries. First of all, he's super strong, so that should have worked better.
Yeah, he should have beat the hell out of that.
Second, like you could have just pulled out the USB cord, buddy.
Yeah.
Or use
the phaser.
Nope. Can't do it. I'm going to smash it with my bare hands. We brought this laptop, hooked it up with Beanstalk, exactly. And now I'm going to smash it.
Yep.
The whole thing was a little...
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty thin. Thin on the ground.
We're not even going to talk about it. It's fine. It's fine.
Hey, every Star Trek has good and bad episodes.
They've all got their moments.
You can't expect every single one to be as awesome as your favorites or whatever.
Yeah, and we jumped ahead again, but I was
the female Klingon on the Admiral too. Yeah, that's
yeah the whole
I want to see how that
bodies
plays
in
out.
A closet business.
It was
like,
gory.
That was really weird.
Like you saw one guy like disembowel one Klingon like yeah fucking about. I was like, oh whoa.
So
okay.
Why were they just sitting there?
Don't they put them on the outside of the ship?
Yeah, and
well,
also
they're traitors. I mean, like maybe they're.
No, that's true.
They
okay,
were,
so
like,
maybe it's
they were
an
like
honor
taken
thing.
Out. You know what I mean?
But you just left him there to be discovered.
Right.
This chick clearly knows.
And she said she would dispose of the body.
This was poorly
she
planned.
Told him I'm going to go dispose of the body in the body room.
Yeah,
maybe.
In the body room.
I'd be like, wait, not that one. Not that. Not that.
Oh
wait.
No, not the body.
She'd probably
room.
Go to the other one. To go to body room 2.
It's like a classic 80s movie.
Yeah,
where
right.
You just like lean up in front of it. No, well, I wouldn't go in there. You spin him around. Well, sweetheart, what I think we should do first is get a drink.
Oh, my God. That'd be great. Klingons doing that.
It was a little poorly planned.
Yes.
The Klingons, so far, not super clever. The only smart one was T'Kuvma. Every other Klingon is a
the most
fucking
badass, yeah.
Moron.
Albino has the same, like, ideals.
Too naive.
He's too weak-willed, naive.
Too naive.
Yeah.
Even the spy is just too weak. She's just
I think
like,
she's just,
oh.
You can't tell. I just think you can't. She's so nebulous as to where her allegiances
where
really,
she is
really
on the spectrum.
Are. I don't know who she actually has her alliance to.
Yeah, that's a good
and
question.
She had me believing she
was ready
to defect to the... I think it's
for her.
Hmm.
I think
okay.
She's just making the best for her.
Looking
herself.
Out for number one.
Yeah. She's just going with whoever she thinks is... I mean, that's weird, too, because does that... I mean, you'd think she would go with Kor then. Because he's clearly coming out on top, so maybe
she
does have.
But she doesn't agree with it. Like she thinks he's going, he's ruining the Klingon Empire.
Yeah, dude, the albino's got to come back.
Where is he? He's gonna come back with Jedi mind powers and lightsabers.
I miss Ripper.
Oh, I know.
What happened to Ripper? Ripper, come back to us, buddy. We miss you, pal.
Well, Stamets is.
Stamets is no
Stamets
Ripper.
Is getting
I'll tell
high
you what.
All the time.
He's no Ripper.
That was it. Yeah. Oh, we forgot about that part at the end of the episode where he had that talk with Tilly.
He does?
Yeah.
Wait, I mean...
Because remember, he got out of the spore drive, and he's like, Captain, what are you doing here? When he was looking at her. And she's like, what? I'm not the captain. He's like, no, get back to work. What?
Oh, right,
and then
right.
She sits down with him, and she's like,
are you
what's
okay?
going on? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said that point, which you had mentioned earlier, bring it up now, where he's like, I can't even tell. You can't get checked out, because...
Right, right.
He would try to protect me.
And what is real at this point for him? Is it this universe? Is it an alternate universe? Is it maybe the universe that we know?
That's the thing.
Oh.
That's why it's got to be the way it intertwines with the prime time. Don't do that again. I'm banned from doing that.
Oh, it'll never stop.
I think their doorway into somehow weaving it into the prime
into
timeline.
The prime universe
somehow.
I mean, you have to. Oh, one more thing I wanted to mention about the aliens on the planet.
Yeah.
So it turns out communication, super easy. You just got to talk to them.
Yeah, right. I don't. That was a little like.
At the end where Burnham's like, no.
I'm pleading with them. Like, it's you might be talking to a wall, man. They don't understand you.
No, no, apparently not. Pretty super easy.
Well, maybe when
all
they
you
went
need to
just,
do from the get-go, maybe, as soon as you beam down, was just explain things.
Maybe when they gave Sarah that sinus infection, they were able to pick up language as well with the memories. Yeah.
Maybe, maybe. Maybe. But at that point, still, I just feel like. Really, all this?
I feel like a lot of things could be explained that they don't even bother explaining, but they could be easily explained if they gave it a half a second.
I also felt like
the show moves too fast.
Saru's eyes were green at the beginning of the sick bay scene at the end, and then they were blue at the end of it.
It could just be simple continuity error that like they forgot his contacts. Or
maybe
something.
I really think they were like clearly green. It was very odd, actually.
Lighting is a thing,
too. I specifically
too.
Made notice of it because they were like, it was almost like they were specifically.
Like that steely blue.
Like CGI green, like special effects green, and then they went to special effects blue.
Oh,
like maybe somebody fucked up or.
Interesting.
Or that was supposed to be like he was upset during the beginning and that's supposed to be a
reaction.
A thing for his species or something.
Maybe.
It stuck out to me so much that I almost felt it was intentional.
I can't believe like things like these little things have taken you out of the show.
Well, dude, it's just basic shit. Well, I also probably wouldn't notice things like this if we weren't watching it
and
with
like,
this in mind.
Apart. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, when I sit there and I watch the show, I'm looking for things
to discuss,
talk
and bring
to
up
about.
And talk about. Yeah,
yeah. So when somebody's eyes change color, it was really obvious to me. Or maybe I'm crazy. Maybe
I didn't notice
it,
but I also
nuts.
wasn't paying it, like I wasn't paying that close attention to it.
Christine is making gestures at me, saying she's fucking nuts. Clearly, that's what she's indicating.
Oh.
She pointed to herself and she shook her head as if to say, "I'm also fucking nuts."
Yeah.
Oh. She noticed as well. She noticed as well. Okay. She's also fucking nuts. Help me. But yeah, it's
a loving relationship.
she enjoys the episodes while I'm taking notes almost as much as she would if she watched them without me.
Right.
That's exactly what you want to do when you want to watch an episode of Star Trek. It's just like, positive. I hope someone there will be taking notes. Man.
Yeah. Instead of enjoying it, we're studying it.
And shushing me continuously. No, shush, I got to pay attention to this. I'm ready to say, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hit her. Anyway, all in all, not as strong
but
an episode as
it was,
the previous one.
It
obviously.
Was a setup for the finale.
Yes,
that's what
yes.
it was. Like, it which
those
I was
episodes,
like, I was like,
setup
oh, yeah,
episodes tend to be a little weaker.
I was like, wait, it would take a whole hour to set up the finale.
Mm-hmm.
But
hey, you're back.
Sorry, I found the mic again.
Hey, Brandon.
I thought it was a
like
little.
It's a dick. I know. Right, put it in your mouth.
Again, I don't suck that many dicks.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's not what I hear.
Yeah. So I thought it was a little annoying that they used up an entire hour of my time to set up the next episode.
Yeah, yeah. But, it was a lot
but
of...
But it's a setup. We're going to see. They blasted out a signal. They're like, no, come, we'll have a peace party. And that's not going to happen.
But I'm thinking the whatchamacallits, the crystal aliens, are going to have... They're going to be super baller.
Might have some like magical... Like,
de-escalate whatever situation might happen.
That would be cool.
Happen.
That would be
like,
okay.
Remember the first Ferengi episode where they show up on the planet and then there's like the gatekeeper fellow who's like, the only thing to fear is fear itself. Also, I have this machete.
No, I don't remember that one.
You don't remember the first Ferengi episode? The first one with the whips? They all have laser whips.
Last Outpost is in
it? And, I don't remember what it's called. Quark is in it.
Well,
he's one of the three first Ferengi.
He's played like four different Ferengi.
Armin Shimmerman.
Absolutely. One of the best.
Yep.
He's
yep.
so good. You know, he's, I say it every time. The Bioshock, the first Bioshock. You played the first Bioshock.
Yeah.
The guy who built Rapture, Andrew Ryan.
Really?
He does such a good job as like a totally different voice. It doesn't even sound like him. But once
I
you get face to face with him at the end, you're like, oh, it is Armin Shimmerman. Wow. The whole time. Is man not entitled to the sweat of his own brow? Like, as you're going down in the bubble.
That's the 31st rule of acquisition.
Oh, good point.
Man is entitled to the sweat of his own brow. A contract is a contract is a contract, but only between Ferengi.
Especially the Ferengi.
It's only.
Is it only?
But only between Ferengi.
Ah, gotcha.
Oh, I know all of them.
You're really good with
those. All 178. I think there's 172. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry, guys. Don't write emails. All of our listeners.
Yeah.
You should have seen the angry emails I got in the last episode. Whoo, boy, were they upset.
Oh, I'm sure.
Not because of anything Star Trek related, just because I'm racist.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I bet.
But boy, don't confuse a warp coil with a fucking transporter pad or they will lose their shit.
I think we're enough Trekkie fans that, like, we, I don't know, I don't think we're going to get
I mean,
most people are coming at us. Like,
that was a joke. Obviously, I know what a coil spanner looks like, so I'm not a fucking moron, Brandon.
I know my way around some EPS conduits. Right? It's fine.
I've been in more than one EPS conduit in my day.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, I think we've all crawled down some Jeffries tubes.
I've been in a Jeffries tube or two.
Come on.
Okay.
We get it.
I've worked a replicator in my...
I'm Noah O'Brien, but...
This is not my first replicator, pal. I'm Noah O'Brien. But who is?
Only O'Brien.
The chief. We miss him. I hope you're doing well out there, Cole Meany.
I'm sure he's doing fine.
I hear he's a fan.
Of our show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
We've got 10 listeners, and he's one of them.
Dude, it's Cole Meany.
Cole Meany. He's out there.
Actually, I'd be honored to hear if any of...
Could you imagine if, like...
Die. Fanboy moment. Like
Frakes or
Spiner.
What's his name? Jordy?
LeVar
Burton. LeVar Burton. If he was just out there like, yeah, well, I like to read, but also... I'm a big fan of the
dude, that'd be so cool.
Nobody asked for this podcast. In between my reading rainbow,
I hope we get some traction, if you will.
I don't know what that means, and I hate it. Oh, don't say that again.
I thought it was clever. Play on words. No?
I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Okay. Gosh,
I feel dirty now.
So I'm
gonna go wash that off.
I'll leave.
Where are we at?
We're bringing it home.
Extra long episode for you guys. Hope you're enjoying all this free content.
We
want
to get
and
current. You know,
I know nobody asked for this, but you could be listening to worse shit. I'll tell you what. Have you heard Kid Rock? Good Lord!
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Just don't waste your time.
I mean,
actually, I love that ball. What a ball song.
I mean, I didn't know we were going to go right after. Kid
don't
Rock.
Tell anybody. yeah, it's all right.
Unfortunately,
it's
on record. Hate to break this to you. We've been recording
but
everything.
But it's okay because no one's listening to this shit.
Yeah, exactly. I feel pretty
except
sick.
For our five-star listeners. Speaking of five stars, if you want to thumbs up and rate us with five stars or how many stars the kids
like
are doing
and
this
share.
Days, I don't even know. Yeah, like and share and thumbs up and whatever they're doing and give us a check mark. I think that's Twitter.
We're still working on this whole self-promotion angle.
We are not marketers.
No, we are not. We're idea people.
Brandon's not anything. He's completely unemployed.
No. Yeah, really. I got
You'd think he'd do some marketing in his spare time, but I got to twist his arm to even get the Facebook page.
Don't make me
running.
Do Twitter. I don't want to do
Actually,
Twitter. I don't want to do Twitter.
Dude, I need you to do some Twitter for us, man.
Do people really?
I can't tweet. It's against my religion. And you've got all this free time.
That's the only leverage you've got.
I do appreciate. I don't think I've thanked you in person yet for the Facebook page because I wasn't going to put it together.
It wasn't a lot of effort for sure.
Good. I'm glad you didn't put any effort into it.
Facebook wants you to make a page for everything.
At least we've got the icon matches, so we're consistently. Yeah. Badly branding.
Once we get an official logo, I'll make sure it's updated.
I got to work on that. That's another one.
Yeah.
For later.
If there's any guys, artists out there that feel that they would contribute,
yeah, if anyone's listening and
free or like you know
wants to contribute artistically, you can reach us at nobodyaskedthispodcast@gmail.com. Also, hit us up on Twitter when Brandon gets that shit fucking rolling.
Get it soon. Join our Facebook group. Nobody asked for this podcast.
That's right. We do have a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Join that. Thumbs us up. Give us the thumb, guys. Finger us, please, by all means.
Doesn't have to be a thumb.
Really get in there. Any finger at all.
Just take the rings off, please.
I'm not even picky about rings. I'll tell you, jewelry, whatever you want to do. Brass knuckles, I don't care. Boxing gloves. Just get in there and get those sweet, sweet fingers going. But this is always a pleasure, as
finale
always.
Finale of Star Trek coming up next, and then we'll be moving on to some movies.
Can't wait for the finale, and then we're going to really sink our teeth into some more remakes,
some recent
redos,
reboots.
Rehashes, and reboots.
That actually, saying that horrifies me.
Oh, dude, I'm excited.
They're real bad.
And as always, this is Dave.
And this is Brandon.
And nobody asked for this. And I'm drunk.
All right.